This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Today on the radio show, let's just see. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That's easy because we have him every single day straight up at 10 o'clock. So we'll talk to Chris about the Grizzlies, the NBA, and you know what else? He put out his Oscar predictions, Jeffrey, yesterday, actually. We didn't go over those yesterday. So we'll do that in addition to some other stuff. And then we're going to play Right Than Right Trivia. You got your game face on today, Jeffrey?
We'll see, Jeff.
Typically, we have a fabulous prize. Do we have a fabulous prize today?
We do, Jeff. Two tickets to see Cake at Bank Plus Amphitheater. That is April the 18th.
Cake! Cake!
You can have your cake and eat it, too.
It's really, as we've said before, that's not the right way to say it. You always have your cake. If you were to go buy a hot dog, you would have your hot dog and eat it, too. There's nothing extraordinary about that. And yet the phrase seems to mean that something remarkable has happened. You get to both have it and eat it. Well, that it's the other way around. You can eat your cake and have it too is the only way it makes sense.
I always assumed that because it comes from Marie Antoinette, right? I always assumed that it was a translation issue from French to English.
Yeah, and there's some thought that actually it was a croissant she was talking about.
Of course, yes.
I think I heard that recently. Mm-hmm. Anyway, two tickets to see Cake at Bank Plus Amphitheater. If you can either be righter than right, good luck with that, or you can play honorably. So that is what we'll do in the second hour. First hour is all us. And we begin with the news that Gene Hackman died. You saw that, I'm sure.
I did.
Well, actually, we've had two Hollywood deaths. Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yes.
She was Buffy? Was she Buffy?
No. Sarah Michelle Gellar is
okay.
Buffy.
As you can tell, I'm not familiar with the
But I was
work.
Offended that...
Who was Michelle Trachtenberg?
Harriet the Spy. Then she was on The Secret World of Alex Mack on Nickelodeon. But one of my favorite bad movies of all time is Euro Trip. And she's the sister in Euro Trip.
Do people like Michelle Trachtenberg?
Yeah, I'd say she's pretty much.
Sad there, because she died alone in her apartment, found dead, and she's still in her 30s, late 30s.
39.
So there was that news. And then Gene Hackman is found dead in his home in New Mexico.
I'd said the home he was staying in.
Did it?
Yeah.
He did live in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So it was Gene Hackman was found dead along with his wife. Gene Hackman was 95. His wife was 64. They'd been married for a long time.
35 years, I think it's.
And their dog. And the authorities have ruled out foul play, which makes it seem like carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And what I was telling a buddy, like, I felt like when I was growing up in like elementary school, they tried to scare us to death about carbon monoxide poisoning. And it's like something that was like never really happened. And then you read a story like this and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could go something if you wanted, oh, this is some weird pact or something, but they wouldn't include the dog.
No.
So you assume it's something like that. Anyway, obviously, you know what? At 95, seems like a pretty good way to go, but not necessarily for his wife at 64.
Yeah, or the dog.
Or the dog. But, of course, what has then launched people off into doing is remembering Gene Hackman, the actor, and his extraordinary, extraordinary number of films. And excellent films. A lot of great films. But just, honestly, a lot of films. There were years when he was doing 3-4 films a year. The hardest working man in show business. Do you have a particular Gene Hackman, either favorite film or role that stands out? And is it Norman Dale?
So I'm actually going to go, all jokes aside, I'm going with Gene Hackman in The Replacements, because The Replacements was kind of like a winking at the camera, like it kind of knew what it was.
That was the football one.
And Gene Hackman was treating the role like he was.
I never saw The Replacements. Replacements was sort of an XFL kind of a renegade league.
It's basically the story of the picket crossers,
right?
From the
right.
It's
good. You liked it.
It's a very good bad movie. It's incredibly watchable.
Here are some Hoosiers, obviously. Unforgiven, The French Connection, Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
The Poseidon Adventure. That Poseidon Adventure was the first film that I saw in the theater that I was worried, am I going to make it through? Because there was a scene, it's a boat that sinks.
Mm.
And he and Shelley Winters and other people are trying to...
Spoiler alert.
Trying to solve... No, it happens at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to live in this boat that sank, I think is what I... Anyway, and at one point there's a dead body that floats into the... And, I was whatever. I don't know what year Poseidon Adventure came out, but I was probably 11 or 12 or something, and I was like, am I going to be able to handle this? I did see that one literally in the...
1972.
1970. There you go. I was, in fact, 11. I was 11. The Replacements, Runaway Jury.
Mm-hmm.
Superman. He was Lex Luthor in Superman. The yes. Royal Tenenbaums. Do you see that? I never saw that.
Yeah, Royal Tenenbaums was like every, when I was like in high school, like every film nerd, the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't be my thing. Young Frankenstein. The Birdcage was The Birdcage. He was the conservative,
right? He was the straight man.
Straight man who
right.
came in and they
played
and,
opposite of right, Robin Williams.
And Robin Williams
Nathan
had
Lane.
To play and yeah. Nathan Lane, right? Exactly, had to play like they were straight.
Correct.
And they knew he gradually began to it began clear that something was up. Young Frankenstein, Birdcage, The Conversation. Didn't see that. People speak highly of it. No Way Out, The Heist, Crimson Tide, Get Shorty, The Firm.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the partners in The Firm. Wyatt Earp, Postcards from the Edge, Reds, and on and on and on. So just an extraordinary, extraordinary career. The obit that I read today talked about, like, he's not your classic leading man at all, right?
No.
Like, he's not your... He is tall, actually. He was 6'2". But he was tall in a way that, I mean, he sort of blended in. He was every man, right? This obit basically described, they said it was as if he was born middle-aged.
Yeah.
And I like that. And incredibly hardworking. Asked to sum up his life, what he wanted as his, on a tombstone, was he tried. And he really tried because he worked and worked and worked. And had a fascinating story. He was, his mom was a waitress. His dad was a pressman at a newspaper. They lived in Illinois. And he remembers when he was 13 that his dad drove away from the family while he was playing in the street, gave him a wave, and that was it. Father abandoned the family at 13 with a wave. He said later, maybe that's why he became an actor. He never knew that one little physical act could have such emotional significance, right?
Sure.
And so he did that. He then was a Marine and a disc jockey. He studied journalism at the University of Illinois. And then he moved to New York to work as a producer in television, right? And while he was there, he decided, you know what? I think I'd rather be on the other side of the camera. And that's when he started his acting career. And he did all the stuff that you did. He sold shoes. He worked as a soda jerk. That used to be a thing. As a soda, he did all the stuff you did. And then he was cast in a Broadway play that was very well received. And he sold shoes no more after that. And again, worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. Incredibly prolific. Won Best Actor for Popeye Doyle, as his role as Popeye Doyle in The French Connection, which I've never seen, and I take it you've never seen.
No.
Well before your time. And then he was Best Supporting Actor in Unforgiven. He considers a film called Scarecrow, which was from 1970, either 3 or 7, I can't read my handwriting, his best.
1973.
There you go. Scarecrow, he considers that to be the best that he'd ever did. Do you believe, in terms of sports movies, that Hoosiers belongs in the top three?
Top three.
What else would you put there?
So I love Moneyball.
I'd put Bull Durham in my top three.
I love Bull Durham. I mean, Hoosiers is really good. I never understood the people that hated on it. It's a really good movie.
What is there to hate on? I think it was just
so popular that someone decided I've got to hate on it. Like, I don't get it. It's a great movie.
I was watching clips today, and I was actually looking for the right Gene Hackman clip in case we were to play it, and I just didn't find the perfect clip. I like the scene where
Jimmy's shooting in the backyard and he's just talking to him.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I think that was a good scene.
I saw one of the clips I saw was which Chris Harrington referenced in a column at trade deadline. My team is on the floor.
Yep.
When he stayed with four players, refused to put a fifth player in. I think Hoosiers would be in Hoosiers and Bull Durham would be two of my top three.
I love also when they get to Hinkle Fieldhouse and he pulls up the tape measure.
Tape measure's good. Yeah. Anyway, Gene Hackman, dead at the age of 95. So we do have things to talk about, including the Memphis Tigers prevailed last night, 84-72. Now, when it was 70-70, Penny calls timeout. We're down in the last 4 minutes. Did you think there was a chance that the Memphis Tigers could lose this game? Obviously, last home conference game they lost was to Rice.
Yep.
They had struggled with Rice at Rice in a very different game, honestly. And here they were suddenly, after having gotten off to a 21-9 start, looked like they were going to run away with this game. Here they were, locked in a tie. Were you concerned?
This is one of the most bizarre games I've ever watched, because you could have told me, maybe not with 4 minutes to go, but you could have told me with about 6 or 7 minutes to go, Memphis is either going to lose this game or Memphis will win and cover. And I would have believed either. And the other thing is, I don't even feel like they played particularly poorly. I don't know. It was a bizarre game to watch. I kind of felt like the final score was more indicative of what I actually felt like the gameplay.
I think that's fair. It required that last burst to get there. But I'll tell you this. I mean, it's how I'm wired. You people know by now, I always fear the worst. And of course I was worried. I was worried because it was freaking tied and it would have been a disastrous loss. Particularly, you got UAB next, and then you're going into that, which is, I'm sure, going to be a fever pitch of an atmosphere. And so, I was worried. I was worried because the downside seemed to be so severe. And there they were. At that point, Rice had the momentum. Rice was energetic. Rice was fired up. Rice, you know, you can over you know, over a half, I don't expect Rice to hang with Memphis necessarily. But for 4 minutes, sure, why not? Hit a couple of threes, it's done, right? And by the way, Memphis wasn't hitting threes, like, at all. 2 of 13 from three.
They weren't taking a ton.
They weren't taking a ton, and they did not hit, like, anything. So I was worried. Penny calls timeout. And by the way, what a good timeout. You know, it was tied. He didn't have to take timeout. It was a live ball timeout. Penny calls timeout, resettles the team. And then Dane Danger was absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous over the next, really, it was a minute and a half is all it was. First, right out of the timeout, he gets the assist. He gets the assist on a Haggerty bucket, right? Sets a screen, gets an assist on the Haggerty bucket. Nice. That's nice. They come down. Memphis is now up two. You come down. Rice puts up a shot. He blocks it, sprints down the court, catches the ball over his shoulder, lays it in for another two. And now he's roaring. Everyone is just roaring at this point. Was not done. Next possession, another block, and then another block. And then after a missed Memphis free throw at the other end, he gets the rebound.
Important to some.
the bucket was important to some, the missed free throw. Gets the bucket and dunks. Yeah, but they wouldn't have had it cost them points.
Listen, all points matter.
So it resulted in more points for Memphis. It resulted in one more point for Memphis. Anyway, and gets the dunk. It was an unbelievable, like, and he was fired up. Memphis goes on a 14-2 run. Dane Danger. It's amazing to me. In many ways, these Tigers are better and have improved even from the non-conference schedule. Dane Danger has become what he's become in the conference schedule, right? He has become this in the conference schedule. The turnovers, that stuff has been reined in the conference schedule. Last night, again, it was 15 assists, 8 turnovers. 9 straight game where they've had a positive assist-to-turnover ratio. Like, they're taking care of the ball. Dane Danger has emerged. It's interesting, then, that why they haven't been blowing out more teams, given that in certain ways, at least, they've gotten better. Dane Danger has become such a force that an old white people, and that's how this listener has described himself, mm-hmm. are now sending me poems about Dane Danger. Okay? I'm not saying this is good. I'm just saying
it was inspired.
I'm just saying this is what he has moved old white people to do. Okay, ready? You can grade. Did you study poetry at MUS?
I mean, we read poetry. I don't know if I would say I studied.
I have never been. I actually can occasionally appreciate
I assume I'm too dumb.
That's what I think.
So, like, I don't.
My favorite kind of poem is a limerick. You know, I'm lowbrow. You know.
With that said, I do love The Raven.
Okay, here we go. It's too close to the football team for me. Let me tell you about a man. His name is Dane Danger. You've heard of him by now. He shouldn't be a stranger. How you feeling about the first stanza? That's the first stanza.
I'll say this.
Let me tell you about
a man. This is more my speed of poem.
His name is Dane Danger. You've heard of him by now. He shouldn't be a stranger. Stranger's okay. Okay. I think it gets better. Dane plays team ball, doesn't act like the Lone Ranger, but try to beat him at the rim, and he might just rearrange ya. Okay, gotta give him rearrange ya.
Yeah,
but the Lone Ranger was a stretch.
I'd definitely like to see a little more. Like,
oh, it's all
make some other things rhyme.
No, it's all the same rhyme.
Yeah,
you have to go with the conceit here. It is all the same rhyme, and you will see this to the very end. I think improvement, though. I think stanza two better than stanza three.
Yeah, I will say the best stuff feels like it's coming later.
No, sadly.
In the middle?
No,
right
I
there
think
in the middle.
Rearranger was about as good as this album's going to get. Dane's shoulders are broad. He's for sure a game changer. We all holler when he scores. Danger, danger, danger.
Listen,
At least you're not giving him a boo, this man.
I think we should workshop this. I think there's some stuff. I assume that this was a first draft.
Well, it was submitted. This is the one that was submitted for publication. You know, so I don't know.
I'm not going to consider this the Aeneid. Like, I don't think this was, you know.
Well, and I was going to say, if the idea is that everything has to rhyme with
danger.
I was running through it. I didn't, unless you were doing a Christmas poem, which could involve the manger, I really didn't come up with anything else that was missing.
Well,
from
in
this.
Fairness, he was just looking for things that ended with jur and then changing it to
yes,
a.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Tigers win, Tigers win, Tigers win. Oh, another subplot was PJ Haggerty getting a technical, and the fans were furious. And indeed, Penny was furious. And listen, we're never gonna focus on officiating. But it was certainly, I'll say this, officiating was unpopular last night. It was wildly unpopular last night, and it did underline this trend, which is PJ Haggerty isn't getting the calls he once did. He's just not getting the calls he once did. And Tim Buckley has a column about this up at the Daily Memphian, and he's very clearly frustrated. I mean, this is building because the last game he didn't get a single free throw, right?
I was telling Munz this. I don't know if I've ever seen someone that took no threes and didn't get to the line. His stat line was 0 for 0 for 3 and 0 for 0
now,
from the line.
This game, actually, he got
to the line 9 times.
Yeah, so this game isn't actually one where it was. There were certainly things that weren't called. That was unquestionably true. But this wasn't as bad, quote unquote, from the am I drawing fouls perspective as a lot recently. And it is very clearly a trend. So last year, attempted 309 free throws. And this is from Tim Buckley's column of the Daily Memphian, 7.9 per game. Okay. Only Zach Edey had more, which is kind of amazing. You're a freshman guard and you're second in the country in free throws. This season, averaged 5.8 free throws a game. So he's down from 7.9 to 5.8. And of course, against FAU, didn't get to the line once. But there is also a real trend here, because in the first 12 games, 7 times he shot more than 10 free throws in the first 12. He averaged 6.9 a game. Again, this is Tim Buckley's column. In the 7 game prior to Wednesday, averaging 3.4 per game. So he went from averaging over the first 12, 6.9 per game to the 7 prior to last night, 3.4 per game. So what the hell is going on? And Penny suggested that that someone made a call is what Penny suggested in the post game. This is the exact quote. If you noticed, it just seems like there's maybe someone called in.
Okay, so I'll go down this rabbit hole because I'm willing to do this. Call to whom?
I don't really know. Who do you call?
Because basketball officials are not like, it's not like, oh, these are, you call the SEC office and the SEC officials, like, that does, college basketball officials work all kinds of games.
Right.
So, like,
who are you calling?
Calling the director of officiating, and there's God knows how many officials throughout the country. Was there a memo? Like,
no. No. I do wonder if, I don't really know. I don't really know. If in conference there's conversations, hey, PJ Haggerty is a flopper, you know, You know, you got to watch.
That's not really, like, what they're, what.
I mean, coaches will say that, to, I'm sure, in pregame. Yeah, you got to watch PJ. He's going to flop, you know, whatever else. That'll happen. But that would have happened in the first. You don't think it would have happened in the first half of the season, given what last year was all about? Last year was second in the country.
Yeah, my first thought is the teams that they played early were better teams and they're more physical. And so he got to the line more because they fouled more.
I don't know. I don't know. But there is a very clear trend there. Last night, ended up with 21. He got the technical. 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Jordan was really good, 19-9. That's his most, that is his highest scoring game as a Tiger. And Danger, 25. That's a career high for him, with 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, and assists. He was a nicely efficient 11 of 14. He was absolutely terrific. It was a, as you pointed out, the weird thing is the final score, sometimes when you walk away from a game at the end, when you create this
the flurry at the end to pull away.
Yeah, sometimes you're like, yeah, they won by 84-72, but it really was closer than
that. The Wichita State game, like, whatever the final score was in that one, I did not feel like that was indefinite.
Whereas this one actually, except for brief moments, really did feel like an 84-72 game. It just happened to be tied with 4 minutes left. And if you look at the stats, like, Memphis out-rebounded him 40-29. Memphis had 16 offensive rebounds. Memphis scored 54 points in the paint. You score 84 points and with only two three-pointers in there, it's not that easy to do. 54 points in the paint. I thought they were good, honestly. And they didn't hit threes. That's that is why it was close, I think, is because they did not hit threes. But a pretty good showing, I think, for the Tigers, and a great showing for Dane Danger.
Also, Rice has this unique ability to play like one score games and lose.
They do.
Like, if
on the broadcast, the theory was that they don't have a closer, whereas Memphis has, you know, certainly two closers now. Like, I now when the ball, it is interesting what's happened. When the ball used to go into Dane Danger early in the season, I was like, oh no, what's going to happen here? A pretty good chance of a turnover, or, you know, whatever. He's going to walk or whatever else.
Yeah.
Get his feet. Now, love it, right? Love it when the ball goes, feed him. And you got Haggerty too. So, and then, honestly, there are others who you might, depending on the game, consider closers as well. But certainly you got two closers on the team. Rice, not really anyone. So in the meantime, while that was happening, there was other college basketball of interest. Ole Miss just got it handed to them by Auburn. No shame there, but it was a resounding 106-76, and they just couldn't. They couldn't handle Auburn. Auburn shot practically 60% from the field, 11-21 from three. No shame in putting up 76 points on Auburn, but you give up 106. That's a beatdown.
The problem that Ole Miss has had recently is they've been digging these holes early, and they can't climb out of them. They have an interesting game on Saturday against Oklahoma, where I'm not saying, like, most people believe they're safe, they're in, whatever. That feels like a game to me, though. Go ahead and win that one, because I don't think you want to be going into Selection Sunday losing 7 straight.
That seems like a sound take.
Yeah.
Vandy gets a big win over A&M on the road. That's a nice one for Vandy. Vandy was already in, I think, but that's a nice win for Vandy, 86-84. And then Arkansas, and you said this earlier, that there was still time to dig out.
Mm-hmm.
They continue the process of digging out, 86-81 over Texas.
And that game was actually a blast to watch because, man, the freshman for Texas is something else to watch. Trey Johnson, like, normally I don't like guys that put up numbers on losing teams. He falls into a different category. He's like, I don't think he's causing them to lose. Like, last night, they're down 10 late, and he basically just said, hop on my back, boys. And he just, like, scratched and clawed, got him to overtime. And then I give Arkansas credit. Like, they let the big lead get away, but they made enough plays. They hit the free throws down the stretch, but they did the things he had to do to win.
And then tonight, we got two games of interest. If this is, it is funny. It doesn't feel like the AAC race is anything we pay particular attention to, but you got North Texas and UAB a game behind, right? And they both play on the road today, tonight. North Texas against Florida Atlantic and UAB against Wichita State.
The difference being North Texas would have to finish a full game ahead.
Right.
But UAB play Sunday.
And you play them Sunday.
If you split.
All right. We got a lot more to talk about. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We got Righter Than Right trivia with tickets to see Cake. The grand prize today. So we will do that. There is NFL news and other news in the world of sports that we do want to talk about, including some news from the Combine, which is interesting, to say the least. So we'll do that when we return. Before then, I'll tell you, if you're getting thinking of getting engaged, Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy your engagement ring. Incredible choices. They got an enormous, how he travels the world to find stunning diamonds. And you got the enormous collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. You can walk in with an idea, photo, whatever. They will create the ring of your dreams, and you get the meant-to-be guarantee, whereby you buy your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring at Robert & Jewelers. You have 365 days to return it, plus free ring sizing, free jewelry spa service for life, that stone tightening, buffing, polishing, all of that. And there's great financing options as well. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. A couple other things to clean up from last night. One, Jeffrey has something he wants to say.
Yeah, so Nick Bernstein, who's an avid listener, has tweeted in to me. I've had this take for a while. I'm ready to start a dialogue about these black jerseys. Those are the worst jerseys.
Did Nick start this? He didn't like them either?
So he's pointed out, he thinks that there's statistical proof that they play poorly in them. I just hate the jerseys. You can't see the numbers, and nothing infuriates me more than a jersey that you can't see the numbers on.
Okay. Can't see the damn numbers.
Yes.
Hate the jerseys.
And Nick believes that they play
worse in black.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get that out of the way. We had another listener suggested that Dane Danger is the key, that the Tigers will go as far as Dane Danger can carry him, because you knew the three-point shooting would regress, and Dane Danger is it now. It is amazing that he has emerged. He wasn't starting for half the season, more than half the season, and now he has emerged as, I mean, the truth of the matter is, over the last 10 games, maybe Conference Player of the Year.
No, I mean, I've mentioned this to Munns. Like, if P.J. Haggerty doesn't exist, I do think Dane Danger would basically have a legitimate case. I struggle with they'll go as far as he goes, because typically in tournaments we see you go as far as your guards
go. Honestly,
but I do think what's true, though, is think about where we were in January. The two concerns we had with the team were rebounding and turnovers. Well, ever since he's been in the starting lineup, they fixed the rebounding problem.
Yeah, and they've limited the turnovers. And so it's and they can throw it into him. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, just look at what he did at the end of that game. It started with an assist out of the high post, and then the block shot, running the court, like you saw it all, and then the rebound, the offensive rebound, and the dunk. Like you had the whole package. So really impressive from Dane Danger. All right, we also have some news from the Grizzlies today, Jeffrey.
Yep.
And this is, I'll just read the release. The Memphis Grizzlies, Gray Media. Had you ever heard of Gray Media previously?
I've not.
The Memphis Grizzlies, Gray Media, and FanDuel Sports Network will simulcast 5 upcoming games in Tennessee's 3 largest media markets, Memphis, Nashville, and Knoxville, free over the air, giving fans across the state a variety of options to watch and cheer the Grizzlies on through the end of the regular season. The agreement will make these 5 Grizzly games available to over 3 million households and more than 7 million people in Tennessee. So what this means, Jeffrey, is, and by the way, these are games March 12th against the Jazz, March 15th against the Heat, March 27th against the Thunder, April 1st against Golden State, and April 13th against the Mavs. That's the regular season finale. And the Heat game, the one on the 15th, is the Tony Allen jersey retirement, so that's cool. So those games, in addition to being on your regular cable station where you've been watching them, right? For me, it's 1727, whatever, Pete Brevin, whatever. That will be simulcast on WMC Channel 5. Is that the idea?
Correct. So the Gray Media, I guess, is who now owns WMC. And
this is obviously in cooperation. It's the Grizzlies, Gray Media, and FanDuel Sports. So FanDuel is a part of this, arranging to simulcast these games. I'm not smart enough to what the hell is going on here.
So I think the Grizzlies side of this would be, hey, this is an opportunity to have more people watch the games right before playoffs.
Right.
And build some excitement.
Build whatever. And let's be honest, we talked about it once before, and I haven't been dwelling on it, but attendance is not what it should be for a team that's this good.
No, I'm with you. I think, though, this is not that. What I am curious to know is this a signal they believe Diamond Sports is not going to be around next season?
Well, there's no question.
And this is like testing to see, okay, what are other ways to do this?
One of the massive developments for particularly small market teams across sports has been the demise of these regional sports networks, which once were the way, and this isn't just in the NBA, it's also in the NBA and the NHL, and it's also Major League Baseball, massive in Major League Baseball. It's one of the reasons why people are expecting that there's going to be a lockout in Major League Baseball next year. The collective bargaining agreement with players and owners in Major League Baseball ends after this season, and small market teams in baseball are getting restless. Because the Dodgers are like spending, you know, more money than God has to his complete disposal, and then these regional, some of the money that they've been getting from the regional networks is drying up, and that is true for the Grizzlies too. The regional sports network, the Grizzlies have and always have had alternative plans to broadcast their games if this had gone away, but they're taking a haircut. And they don't want to do that because they want the check, and they're not getting the same check. It's a massive region. The demise of regional sports networks and the checks they provide is a significant blow across a lot of leagues, but certainly to the Grizzlies.
Well, and also teams are trying to figure out alternatives. And one that was praised by fans was what Utah did, which was essentially the model that the Grizzlies are doing for these five games. That's what they've done for all of their games. And CNBC reported...
Where's the money coming from, though? That's the question.
Advertising. You sell ads. But the other problem with that is, like, you basically become a TV network. Like, you have to, like, buy a truck or rent a truck and the crew, and you take it all in-house. CNBC reported that the Jazz have lost 50% of its annual media rights revenue this season.
Yeah, so fans can love it. But if you're the Jazz, how do you love losing, getting... half the money you once got. By the way, just to be clear, this is going to be the team that you love. It's going to be Pete Pranica.
Yeah, it's still everyone. They're just simulcasting.
And that's group. It's going to be simulcast. By the way, in other media news, I saw this Pete Pranica put on his Facebook page that he is doing the national game coming up very soon. He's going to be. He's been picked to broadcast in one of the national games, so that's a lot of fun for Pete. All right, onward to the and well deserved, by the way. Guy is awesome.
We have great broadcasters.
We do have great broadcasters. All right, over to the NFL, Jeffrey. A couple things have started to, and today we got people running and jumping. I think, don't we? Today,
today's Thursday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we got people running and jumping, I think.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, no, we got runners and jumpers today.
Gosh.
But there is some NFL news. First, with the draft picks, Abdul Carter, who was certainly and may still be in the running to be the number one pick, and if not, I don't think anyone thought he would go other than the top three, certainly top five. He has a stress fracture in his foot. And may need foot surgery.
And this is after the shoulder.
He's already not working out at the combine. We knew he wasn't working out at the combine. And may not have anyway, but because of his shoulder. And so now he's got foot surgery. And it's unclear if you would need surgery or that you just rest and let it heal up. But it will be, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, who was his agent, said, and I'm sure this is going to shock you, that he's still going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, the way that I read the news, and you tell me if you think I'm off here, it almost sounded like he was going to let the team decide what to do because he could have surgery, could let it go, but basically it was like they were presenting here's the situation and let the team decide what to do.
I also don't know if he's going to be able to work out. No? Is that it?
I assumed he wasn't going to work out anyway.
He's going to work out the pro day. He was going to work out at his pro day. 100% he was going to work out at his pro day. He wasn't going to work out at the combine, but he absolutely works out of the pro day. And you wonder if you don't. Anyway, that happened. Then the other story about another defensive lineman who now, after the Senior Bowl, has projected to go in the top 15, Mike Green from Marshall.
Yeah.
Well, the story emerged that the reason he left Virginia, or the reason he was suspended at Virginia, he then said he left voluntarily. The reason he was suspended at Virginia was sexual assault allegations. And this came after there were sexual impropriety or whatever allegations in high school. And so when he came to Virginia, he signed a special zero tolerance pledge and then was at least allegedly violated that. And so that's why he ended up at Marshall. He's blown up. He had a great year, looked great at the Senior Bowl. It's safe to say that teams are going to be digging into this.
Yeah, I was under the impression teams were already
knew.
I'd been reading reports like that it said there's red flags.
So, two very different sorts of red flags, but there you go, red flags. The Saints have said they are going to bring back Derek Carr. So as we look at the, and I believed them. They said it in a way that it seemed like it was definitive.
I totally agree. Yeah. They said it in a way like, we don't have enough. Like, he wants to play here, so he's going to play
here. He's going to play there. That one's done. So if in the merry-go-round you had an open spot or whatever in New Orleans or thought Derek Carr was going to land somewhere else, that one appears to be done. And I have now, I think I may be reversing my opinion as to whether Matt Stafford's going to be dealt.
Really?
I think he might be dealt. And because the what I was listening to someone say yesterday was that the theory is that the Rams are going to go get Darnold. And obviously there's a connection to the coaches there, the Vikings
and
the Rams.
Did you not read the story also from the combine? If Matt Stafford leaves, the Rams are perfectly comfortable with Jimmy G.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I did read that story too. Mm-hmm. No, but that it's Giants and Raiders are after Stafford, and it's going to be Sam Darnold to the Rams.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I still think he's going to be with the Rams. Like, this to me feels like Stafford in the end is going to have the decision. And is he really going to go play for one of these bad teams? Because think about it in these terms. The team that was the closest to beating the Eagles in the playoffs was the Rams.
Well, you would think that everyone would recognize that and everyone would acknowledge that. And Sam, and that's what drove my, this is the beauty of radio. I get to have one opinion yesterday and I get to change it today. And of course, it's based on no actual reporting of mine because I don't really cover the NFL. But you would, common sense, both from the Rams perspective and the Matt Stafford perspective, would make you say, oh, come on, man. He doesn't want to go to a bad team, and they don't want to have a crappy quarterback. Let's just get this thing done. We know it's going to happen, right?
Yes.
But if in the end the Rams don't want to pay him $50 million, maybe they've drawn a line, and maybe they think they did move on from Jared Goff. Maybe they think we can do just fine with Sam Darnold, and we think for one reason or another that Matt Stafford is not going to hold up or something, and they move on.
So you think the team that made Sam Darnold look horrific in the playoffs, that team...
They did make him look horrific.
This is a negotiation. I think the thing that we've got to remember is negotiations have just become public. Like, I don't know if this is the agents doing it, if it's the teams doing it, but everyone's just always trying to assert leverage and try to make sure they get the best possible deal. I still think more times than not, like, common sense is what ends up winning the day.
Well, we shall see. Anything else jump out at you from the combine? We got running and jumping today.
Does this draft feel like the least buzzy draft?
That's what I said yesterday. I don't feel like there's a lot to this draft.
And why is that? Is it because we've had drafts before where the quarterbacks weren't the show, but we still were like the Myles Garrett draft. I think quarterbacks weren't part of the story. I don't know. Is this
don't know.
Maybe we don't know the players.
It's funny.
We got
some running backs that we know. Like, I don't know. Maybe we don't know. Don't know. Doesn't feel like it, but I will watch the running and jumping today. Other news that we got to get to before, again, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll play right in the right trivia after that. Some things from elsewhere in the grand universe of sports. I was reading, there was really an interesting college football coach confidential at The Athletic about the NIL.
Go on.
And it was, well, it was just about the, a lot of it was about
prices.
A lot of it was who, it was really interesting. Who got the best transfers? Whose classes did you really like? Whatever. You'll be shocked to know LSU was high there. Oregon was high there. Ohio State was up there. Texas Tech was up there. But one of the Coach 13 says this. Whose classes do you like? Texas Tech. Listen, they might have overspent for some kids, but that's relative. If a guy becomes who you want him to become, is it really overspending? To throw a G5 school a bone because it's so much harder for those guys, Memphis had a good class. The quantity was high, but the quality was high too. They signed some talented players. Nice to see. I didn't expect. Just out of the blue, I was reading along. Didn't expect that to pop up. Also from the world of college football and NIL, Jim Nagy, who's run the Senior Bowl for a long time. He's the guy who's basically been in charge of issuing invitations to the player side, the player acquisition side of the Senior Bowl. He is going to be the GM at Oklahoma. It could be a short-lived stay at Oklahoma, depending on what happens there, right?
100.
Hot seat. Definite hot seat.
The thing that I've found interesting, and maybe it shouldn't be shocking, but college football teams, when they go with the GM, they're still all going like personnel. But it feels like in college basketball, what we're seeing is it's more like agents, marketing people. Like,
what is that? What do you mean? It's personnel.
Roster.
That's who they're hiring.
Yeah.
The college football is hiring personnel people.
Yes. And college basketball seems to be like moving towards like agents or deal makers.
Isn't the Gmail? I mean, isn't the job the same in both places? What's the job? What is the job of the GM?
I mean, it's to put together the best possible roster.
But is that then raising money?
So
is that just identifying talent? Is that negotiating the deals? What is it?
So I think it kind of mirrors what we see NFL versus NBA, where, okay, yeah, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are on every ad, but not a lot of NFL guys are like in the ad space. But the NBA has a lot more guys that are marketable. We see them more frequently. And so what I think is actually happening is, hey, it's not just the NIL salary. It's like we got to get these guys deals. And so they're wanting to get deal makers.
It's dealing more with celebrity promoters than it is just offensive guards who can play football.
Right.
Interesting.
And obviously the rosters are bigger in football, so like you got to sort through more tape and whatnot. But like I also think like I can't think of an example of an agent in the NFL becoming a general manager, a roster guy, but we have seen it in the NBA. It happens fairly frequently.
Anyway, that also happened. And in other news, in the She Believe Cup, this is the problem with women's soccer. We only mention them when they lose or if they're winning a gold medal. They lost to Japan, Jeffrey. The U.S. lost in
this
the She Believe Cup. Yes, upset to Japan, 2-1. You know, this is the Emma Hayes era Emma Hayes era at women's soccer, and it's her first loss, 2-1 in the She Believe Cup.
Did we play everybody?
There you go. I think we did. Now you're getting into a level of granularity that I don't really. I'm not capable of discussing women's soccer at that level, which is my own weakness. Okay, we got Chris Arrington coming up next. We'll talk to him about Gene Hackman and his Oscar predictions and some Grizzlies stuff. We'll talk to him about this simulcast business as well. So we'll talk to Chris coming up next. Don't play Right and Then Right trivia. Before then, I will remind you, if you are getting something framed, there is a place to do that has been around for 50 years in Memphis. It's the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. And they sell beautiful frames. They really do. You walk in there, there's beautiful frames. But what they're really good at is, and what they specialize in, is custom framing. For 50 years, they have been taking photos, sports memorabilia, collections, whatever it is that you want framed and preserved forever, they have done it in a way that makes those things last and makes them beautiful. They are things you can hang up with great pride in your house and that, let's be honest, keepsakes that you can hand down to your kids someday. It's the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.